Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
Today we're with Dr. Amitava Banerjee, who is clinical lecturer in cardiovascular medicine. Welcome, Ami.
Hi, morning.
We're recording this quite early in the morning because you're about to dash off to the hospital.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to have to start my shift soon.
Because being a clinical lecturer means that you're in a hospital, you're in clinic, as well as doing research.
That's right. I actually have a 50-50 split down the line between my research work and seeing patients and doing clinical work in the hospital relating to heart disease.
So thanks for getting up extra early for us today.
No problem at all.
Appreciate it. And you're a blogger as well.
That's right. For the last 2 years or so, I've been doing an evidence-based blog called trusttheevidence.net with a GP friend of mine in Oxford. So we write about stories that are in the media about health and about health research and try and unpack some of the data and the statistics to explain it to the layperson a bit easier.
So for those of us that don't know what evidence-based medicine is, what is it?
Well, evidence-based medicine, in its simplest form, is meant to be about relating clinical practice to the best possible evidence from the health research that's there and making the two much closer so that, in effect, you get the best possible clinical practice.
So it's just taking a very, very hard look at the figures.
Yeah. And it is happening to a great extent. And over the last 20 or so years, there's been much more of a rigorous move towards evidence-based medicine, but still there's lots of work to be done.
So we're not going to specifically talk about your area of research today, but we are going to talk about one thing that you're really interested in, which is value-based pricing. So this is something that the NHS is looking at right now.
That's very true. In the middle of all of the health reforms that have been proposed by the new government is this idea of value-based pricing of drugs and of new innovations. What that means is that the pricing of drugs will be related to their effect on patients or how much value society puts on those drugs. And that's a big change to the current situation.
And that's something that's suggested within the current health and social care bill.
That's absolutely right.
It's being discussed now.
There's been a consultation since December until March where members of the public and key stakeholders and policymakers and doctors and nurses and health professionals can comment on what they feel about this proposed reform. And the government is hoping to roll out this new proposal of value-based pricing in 2014, so in 3 years' time.
So how currently are drugs priced?
Yes. So pretty much since the beginning of the NHS, there's been an agreement called the PPRS, whereby drug companies voluntarily made an agreement with the Department of Health as to what their prices should be set at. And that's reviewed every 5 years or so. And it's not set in stone. Mm-hmm. So not all drug companies have to sign up to that drug tariff. Mm-hmm. And there are certain exclusions, but definitely at the moment, the cost of the drug is related to how much is prescribed and other factors, but it's not related, amazingly, to whether the drug necessarily works or how much effect the drug has.
Right, which is quite surprising.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how would value-based pricing work then?
Value-based pricing would, in simple terms, carry further on the work of a body like NICE, the National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence, which was set up to find out how cost-effective treatments are and to give us an idea of whether the NHS should be funding certain treatments. That kind of data about how effective a treatment is, combined with patient satisfaction data, the value that society puts on it, would be used for each drug, and there'd be projections into the future. And that would be used to project how much profit should be made from this particular drug, how much added value, if you like. And then the idea would be that at regular intervals, whether it's every year or every 2 years, the current situation is reviewed, and if the drug is done better, then that means more profit and possibly a higher price, or it could mean vice versa. So it's this idea of tying rewards for the drug companies to their outcomes much more.
And presumably that means we're going to need a lot more evidence about how drugs are doing out there in the real world. Once they're through their clinical trials and they're out on the market, we're going to need lots and lots of data about exactly how they're performing.
That's very true. One of the key concerns about this new scheme is that the evidence as it stands at the moment for drugs usually comes from clinical trials, which are not always the real world setting.
Yep.
There's a difference between how a drug works in selected patients in the trial setting and how it works in our population. And so we need much more detailed data in the real world, but also we'd need to gather data in a different way to what we're doing at the moment, particularly relating to cost. So, for example, if I had a new drug for the treatment of heart disease, then I would have to measure its effect against all the existing treatments and measure its cost against all the existing treatments. And that kind of data is not routinely collected in clinical trials.
And presumably the idea as well is that it helps to incentivize innovation. So it's not just that drug companies are going for the easy pickings, but they're actually looking at going into new areas where they can make a really big difference.
That's very true, yes. The incentive structures at the moment often encourage drug companies to go for the lower hanging fruit, drugs that they think will make a lot of money, rather than drugs that will have a lot of effect, or going for a disease where there aren't any drugs at the moment. Whereas in value-based pricing, they're encouraged to find those disease areas where there aren't currently so many drugs, for example, cancer therapies, and they would be rewarded more for going for those therapeutic areas where there aren't alternatives. And if they go for a drug where they just produce the so-called Me Too drugs, where it's just a second generation similar kind of drug, then that might not have so much of an incremental effect on a patient's health. And so they wouldn't get as much of a reward as they do right now.
So is it more likely then that what's going to happen is we're going to see the less effective drugs kind of drop off? So GPs won't prescribe those drugs which aren't so effective. So patients less likely to get prescribed an ineffective drug, GPs' budgets less likely to get wasted on drugs which aren't so good.
You've raised an interesting point about GPs. In the new health reforms as they're proposed by the government, GPs will have more power in terms of advocacy, in terms of controlling the purse strings, if you like, of local services for their patients. And so value-based pricing hopefully would ensure that they are choosing the most effective drugs for their patients and they're diverting resources towards the most effective drugs. And so, yes, a drug that's not having an effect, that's shown by the evidence to cost too much for too little an effect, that wouldn't get the funding anymore.
So we might see some surprises if this comes in. So in 2014, 2015, there might be drugs that which routinely we all think are okay, but actually when we get a bit more data on them, find out they're not so great.
Yes, that might be the case. I think more exciting is the fact that disease areas where there aren't any drugs, there'll be incentives for drug companies to produce drugs for those areas. And they'll, as you said, there'll be more innovation there.
So the consultation is finishing as we're recording this podcast. So we're waiting to hear what the results of the consultation might be. There's obviously a lot going on at the moment in the news and with the BMA and the bill in general.
That's absolutely right. I presume that in the next few months, the Department of Health will collate all the information about this value-based pricing reform, and that based on that, they will update and change the proposal. They've said there may well be another consultation later on.
Right.
But they're quite firm that they want to bring this in 2014.
And in the meantime, we can all read your blog, which is trusttheevidence.net.
That's right. Yes. And this week, I will be writing something relating to value-based pricing. So please check in.
Dr. Amitabha Banerjee, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. On the website, you can find out how to email us with comments, questions, or suggestions for future topics for the podcast. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists. The interviewer for the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast was Lucy Vernal, and the producer was Andy Tootell.